Dublin first. It is a gift to worship God together in community this morning. We have a few announcements for you this morning. Our first announcement is from Gabrielle Cook Mekovene about our Next Generation concert. Tyler's going to give that announcement for us.
There's somewhere, that's okay. I'll just use this one. Sorry, folks. So next week on Sunday evening, we have our second of our Next Generation concerts. This is with Second Act Opera Company, which is based out of Grand Rapids. They are terrific. It is going to be a very eclectic mix of a number of things from opera, and not just, you know, the sort of standard opera that you might think about, things, you know, like the Mozarts and the Wagners and the Verdis of the world, but they're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. So if you don't know anything about opera at all, it's still going to be a really, really great experience and cool night for everybody. That is next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Be there.
Thank you, Tyler. And would you mind to hand that microphone to Weston?
Okay, so as some of you may know, I just went on a mission trip to Midwest Mission Distribution. When I was there, I spent most of my week in the wood shop to make a school desk. The first day, we scraped gum off the bleacher seats. Yes, the desks are made from recycled bleacher seats. Weird. So then we plugged holes. We also took a wand, it was weird, to find any hidden metal like nails and screws so cutting the wood would be safe, because otherwise the saw they used could blow up, and that would not be good. So the people in the back would cut the wood, then we assembled the desk, we took some pictures, and unassembled the desk so the polyurethane could be applied. The desks are shipped unassembled. Through all this madness, I made a friend. His name is Roger. He's 88 years old, and he's been working at Midwest Mission for 25 years. Also, just so you know, Midwest Mission has only been open 25 years. So, yeah, Roger made this week better than I could have ever imagined, and he was only one of the many friends I made that week on the trip.
You can hand it to me. Thank you so much, Weston, for telling us about the mission trip that you went on. And for reference, the Midwest Mission Distribution Center is through where we do the rice packing. And so there's a connection there that we can be aware of and to celebrate. And now we'll go into a time of greeting one another. And I invite you to remain standing after Edison brings us back together with our bell for the call to worship.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you brought me up and brought up my soul from Sheol.
Restore me my life among those
sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for
weeping. I invite you to remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, God is Here, on page 660 in our United Methodist hymnal.
All right, kids, come on up. I loved hearing the reference to the shepherd in the song we just sang, because that's what we're talking about, is the 23rd Psalm. Here they come. Okay, so today in Sunday school, we're learning about the 23rd Psalm again. Last week, we talked about the psalm teaches us how our good shepherd satisfies us by making sure we have good food and clean water and a safe place to rest. This week, we'll discover that even though we might stray from the right path or be afraid, he is always close to us and gives us comfort. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, our good shepherd, who is always nearby. When we need help, he knows how to help us. Help us remember to ask. Amen. Okay. Good job, Owen.
Rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. Rise and shine, for the light is a-coming. Oh, rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. Rise and shine, for the light is a-coming. Oh, rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. My Lord says he's coming by and by. This is the year of Jubilee. My Lord says he's coming by and by. My Lord has set his people free. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Wet or dry, I intend to try. My Lord says he's coming by and by to serve the Lord until I die. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. Rise and shine, for the light is a-coming. Oh, rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. My Lord says he's coming by and by. I intend to shout and never stop. My Lord says he's coming by and by until I reach God's mountain top. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Oh, rise and shine, or the light is a-coming. Oh, rise and shine, for the light is a-coming. Rise, shine, for the light is a-coming. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Rise and shine, oh, rise, rise, rise and shine. Rise, rise and shine. My Lord says he's coming by and by. Yes, my Lord says he's coming by and by. Rise and shine.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler, and thank you, Gabriel. As we worship on this 4th of July weekend, we have opportunities to be mindful of our blessings as a nation, And our blessings within our own families, our own lives, as the holidays bring a different rhythm to our days. But indeed, we have opportunity to be mindful of God's blessings every day. And so we take time today during our worship to share in our tithes and offerings, recognizing that what we give is a portion of what God has already given to us. And so if you're visiting here this morning for one of the first times, you're a guest of ours, we invite you to sit back and to reflect on the blessings that God has poured into your lives. Certainly as members of the congregation, we invite you this time to share your tithes and offerings that we might share God's blessings with others. Indeed, as Tyler just sang about, God pours God's grace into our lives in a way that we can shine with his very light. So let us give joyfully, knowing that God shines through us. Would the ushers please come forward? Almighty God, your blessings and grace comes into our lives in so many ways. The creation and sustaining of this world, the blessings of our nation, to how we experience in our individual lives, we give you thanks. And out of these blessings, O Lord, we return even just a portion of it with gratitude and joy, and ask for your blessings upon it, that others might see your grace in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament. It comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 17. This morning I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make good of showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Slow and steady wins the race. That's the moral of Aesop's fable, The Tortoise and the Hare. The hare, of course, much quicker than the tortoise, thought that it wouldn't be of any consequence if he just took a little break along the way in his race against the tortoise. After all, how much faster he was. Well, most, if not all of us, know that the moral of the story is such because the hare thought that he was much better than the tortoise with his speed and ability. He thought higher of himself than he ought and took too much downtime when the tortoise never stopped at all. Often when Paul wrote to churches, he would use the analogy of followers of Christ being runners in a race who train to win the prize of being with Christ himself at the end of our earthly lives. This time, in his letter to the church in Galatia, Paul uses a planting metaphor, warning the believers there that they will harvest what they sow. The principle behind Paul's words, however, is the same, no matter which metaphor he's using. It is often the case that Paul endeavors to write to a church because they forget what they have been taught. In his letter to the church in Galatia, Paul writes to refute the belief that in order to be saved, individuals need to be circumcised, which is what false teachers taught. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. They were set apart as God's people to be a visible sign of God's love and faithfulness for the world in a culture that had a large focus on things like farming, agriculture, and fertility. Some of the false gods that people worshipped were ones that people believed would help with fertility. That being the case, circumcision was a very strong sign and sent a very clear message about who the living God is. To clarify, the issue was not that Paul had an issue with circumcision as an act in and of itself, or even the fact that it was the act God chose for Abraham and his descendants as the sign of the covenant. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. The difference is in the why. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, know your why. Usually it refers to having an understanding about why you're choosing one choice or another. Knowing your why is important when faced between making a difficult choice that will be better in the long run or making a choice that will be easy in the short term. It helps us to persevere in the midst of challenges because the outcome behind the choice that we've made is worth it. In our text today, Paul is reminding the Galatians that ultimately, the choices we make, no matter how big or how small, reflect whether or not we're following God. That doesn't mean if we make a mistake, we can't be forgiven. It doesn't mean that if we do something wrong, we can't call ourselves Christians. Not at all. But what it does mean is that as followers of Christ, we need to be mindful and aware, to be alert, so that by the choices we make, we're doing good, we're not doing harm, and above all, we're staying in love with God. That is John Wesley's three rules. Part of what Paul tells the Galatians is that we reap what we sow. Because in contrast to living life according to our flesh, we're called to live life according to God's Spirit. And that's not easy. Our flesh is opposed to the Spirit. And even though God's perfect will for us is to follow him in everything and to enjoy the fruit of living in his perfect will, to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which Paul talks about in the previous chapter, God allows us to choose the opposite. He allows us to choose that which is not himself, that which is the opposite of loving and life-giving, because love is a free gift. It is freely chosen and freely received. He permits us to do that which is the opposite of what he would like us to do, because in his love for us, he has given us the freedom to choose. I heard it said once that true freedom is not the freedom to do what we want, but the freedom to do what we ought. You might say, how is that truly freedom? The freedom to do what we ought instead of what we want, if what we want is not what God wants. Because at the heart of the gospel is the freedom to see things as they truly are. The freedom to know what freedom truly is, what it truly means. It's because the heart of the gospel is that the one who creates and sustains all things is calling us to come home. What's one of the things that Jesus said as he was walking along, calling people to himself? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We're called to turn from the ways of the flesh and walk in the ways of the Spirit. That's what we have always been meant to do. When Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself." Conduct. That is part of the scripture we read today in the New Living Translation. Paul says this because our home is not of this world, and the life that God calls us to, even right now, is a life of union with him and with one another, and because holiness is what love demands for full and true union. Gregory of Nazianzus, one of the early church fathers, said that. Sin separates us from God. It draws us away from the union with God and with others that we were always called to live in, that we are called to live in. All of us sin, but when one of us falls short and stumbles, we're called to speak the truth in love and help that person up, because we're all called to be walking ever closer to Christ and to reflect his beauty. That's why Paul says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desire will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. That's verses 7 through 10. He's reminding the church in Galatia of who they truly are, who they are at the core of their being. Those who are called to deny the flesh, take up their cross, follow Jesus, live to please only the Holy Spirit, and help others along that same way. One of the creeds, the statements of faith that all Christians agree upon, there's three of them. One of them, called the Nicene Creed, names the Holy Spirit as the Lord, the giver of life. If we repent and turn from our sin, we turn towards life. And if we plant what grows life by walking ever closer to the one who is life itself, it's not going to be easy in this world. Because the cross alone can save. And yet, Paul says this: "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." That's verse 14. Augustine of Hippo, another one of the early church fathers, said this: He said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You being Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We have the privilege to walk with God right now in this life, even as we wait for the fullness of the kingdom of heaven to come. It is already here in part, but there is a part in which we wait. And now we get to invite others on the journey. That's exciting. The invitation comes through the fruit we bear as we make choices to accept God's invitation to go deeper into his life through the way of the cross. The way of the cross is not an easy way. But through it, we grow the fruit that matters. And the way of the cross, though slow and certainly painful, that is the way that wins the race, because Jesus is our prize, and he is the one who set the example for us to follow. He is God in the flesh, and he died for our sins on the cross, and so that we would never walk this life alone. As we come to the communion table this morning, I invite you to come open. Come ready to receive what he has for you on the journey toward the fullness of his kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's come together in prayer. God of the universe, God of time and space, thank you for who you are and for all you have created. Thank you for this day and for the privilege it is to worship you, for the privilege it is to pray to you and to grow in relationship with you. Draw us ever closer to you and stir our hearts to praise. Lord, we thank you that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, today and always. You know every detail of our lives as human beings because you created us and put your life into us. For those whose lives are in danger today, we pray that you protect them. Be with those in our city, our state, our country, and our world who are suffering. We pray especially for Texas and all those affected by the flooding that's occurred since Friday. And we pray for peace regarding the conflict in the Middle East. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. You are peace itself. And your peace is our life. And you make all things new. We thank you for that. We also pray for the persecuted church today, for those who cannot worship you as freely as we do. Give them the courage and the trust in you to keep saying yes, to keep following you in the hardest of circumstances. Give us that courage and trust in you as well. Jesus, we thank you that you've set an example for us because you suffered on our behalf through the cross. Although it happened in time and space, Lord, your sacrifice transcends and it touches us today. It frees us today. Thank you that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear how we get to partner with you in the work that you are already doing. However big or small the task you call us to, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to walk alongside you in this life and to have you to walk alongside us. We love you, God, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us this day and every day. Give us the grace to love you more with each passing day. May we love you more at the end of our lives than we do this day. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal, where you will find our liturgy or our preparations for communion. Your responses will also be on the screen behind me. I want to remind you that as a United Methodist Church, we celebrate an open table, so all are invited, but none are required to come forward for communion. You need not be a member of this church or any other church to receive communion today. We simply ask that if you do participate, you are open to God's love, the love that Bethany spoke about, to God's love in your life. We'll have two stations here this morning. Each have gluten-free bread if you're needing the elements in that way, and those are in the bowls. We invite you to come forward and to receive the elements of bread and juice at one of the stations. Come forward through the center aisle and returning using the side aisle. Let me be very honest with you as a congregation, as we shared conversation about communion at our last worship team meeting. It is easy to feel rushed in communion because you have a whole line behind you, seemingly moving you forward. But as Pastor Bethany invited us this morning, this is our opportunity to come to the table and to receive the nourishment that we need to continue in this life that Pastor Bethany raised up from the letter of Paul. And so we come to this table with our lives with us, and with various needs, various blessings. And so I invite you to take the time that you need to receive the elements and to receive this grace. Please don't feel rushed to move on, but to take that moment at each of the stations to receive this gift of God's love. For some of us, that spiritual nourishment will come in the form of recognizing God's grace in our lives. how God has given us the opportunity, as Weston shared, being on mission trip with Hillary and Melinda, to serve God and to serve others, and to encounter blessings that we didn't know we were anticipating. Maybe that was in your last week or two. But perhaps this last week or two has brought about continued challenges or even unexpected events. And there's the need to be reminded that God is with us, that God is nourishing us to choose to love God and to love others and to love our neighbor. And so I hope this morning, as you come forward for communion, and whenever we come to this table, that you might take this opportunity and time to receive this grace. Let us prepare our hearts now to receive this love and promise from our God. Once again, I remind us that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have not broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins to our loving God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Would those assisting with communion this morning please come forward. I invite you to come to receive this gift of God's grace. Let us pray. God, we thank you for communion with you and with one another, with the church and with the saints. We pray, O Lord, that you would nourish us at this table, that indeed this day and every day we might rise and shine and be your light in this world. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as you are able and invite you to join us in our closing song, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens. You'll find this on page 150 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Beloved of God, go in peace, knowing that God walks with us in this life. And though sometimes what he calls us to is not easy, he invites us deeper and deeper into his life with each passing day. And that's worth everything. Go in the peace of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.